this time from the New Testament, is Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing, that's Jesus, was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Heavenly Father, we thank you for the simplicity of the two stories we have heard this evening, true stories in history. We thank you for them, and we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help us to realize that we can understand the simplicity of your word, the straightforward nature of faith. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless David now as he opens this scripture for us. We thank you, Lord, that the unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding, Lord, to even the simple. And we thank you, Lord, for that. And we pray each one of us now that this evening you would open our eyes that we might see wonderful things in your word. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Well, according to the Hindu religion in India, the population can be segmented into different castes, different levels of social class, with what are called Brahmins at the top and Dalits, or the untouchables, at the bottom. Dalits make up over 16% of India's population, and they are considered less than human. These are a class of people who are expected to perform very menial, very degrading tasks, tasks such as unblocking the sewers, disposing of dead bodies, cleaning public toilets. Mahatma Gandhi, who has been in the news recently, his spectacle sold just last week for £160,000. Gandhi, who became a prominent leader in India during the early 20th century, he was a great ambassador for the Dalits. He fought hard for their rights, but he says in his autobiography that in his student days, he was interested in the Bible. Apparently, he was so deeply moved by reading the Gospels that at that time, he seriously considered becoming a believer. Gandhi could see how the caste system of India was dividing the people of India. And to him, Christianity, from reading the Gospels, Christianity seemed to be the only real solution to India's divisive system. So the story goes, one Sunday he went to a nearby church. He went wanting to see the minister, wanting to ask for help. Gandhi wanted to understand how he could find this good news for himself, this salvation. But when he entered the building, apparently the ushers refused to give him a seat. They even suggested that he go away and worship, as he says, with his own people. So Gandhi left that church hall and never went back again. He wrote down his thoughts on what he had experienced. He said, "If Christians have caste differences also, I might as well remain a Hindu." And he did. The rest, of course, is history. I wonder how you feel when you hear how those ushers behave. Maybe, as I did, you cringe at their behavior. We can shake our heads as in our hearts we condemn those Pharisaic ushers, the way they were towards this man looking for answers. But really, whether it's because of the color of someone's skin or because of someone's intellect or because of how they smell or because of their financial position, or their sexuality, or the way they're dressed, or maybe they have a disability of some sort. But at times, rather than affirm the gospel of Jesus, the gospel of marvelous grace, actually the attitude of Christians towards others has only contradicted the gospel. It's even undermined this message of marvelous grace. You might want to challenge what I've just said there, but I wonder if deep down inside there is something of a Pharisee in you, as there is somewhat in me. A Pharisaical attitude that says, you know, really, at the end of the day, I would prefer just nice people to come to Welbeck Road Church. Clean people, decent, law-abiding people. Of course, yes, we want people from our community to come to Christ, but really, we would prefer the beautiful people, the young, the attractive, the financially stable sort of people, and so forth, you know, that kind of demographic. We don't want really the emotionally abused or the financially broke. We don't want those with criminal records to be coming to our place. We don't want those turning up with tattoos up their neck or across their forehead. We don't want that sort of untouchable coming into Welbeck Road Church, because if they started coming, it would be different. It would be disruptive. They would disrupt our schedules. There would be a scene or so in our church services. If people like that started coming to us, we'd have to make some sort of sacrifice to help, if they needed help, those sorts of people. And yet, really, it's exactly that visible expression of love and welcome that our fragmented world needs to see. That our fragmented world not only needs to see, but actually needs to experience as well. In how untouchables made right before God, us, how we act towards those who are yet untouchable around us. I begin tonight's message with that assertion because the passage that we're looking at, it involves as one of its key figures someone we could label as an untouchable of Jesus' day. In fact, arguably, he's a double Dalit. Dal apparently means, it comes from the word for crushed lentil. The people of India of that caste are crushed by the system. Here's someone here who is a double Dalit of that day, Christ's day. He's a leper and he is a Samaritan. So let's first of all then look at the context of the passage we're dealing with here from Luke chapter 17. It's the beginning of the third section of events in Luke's gospel. Luke records for us Jesus Christ, his journey to the cross. He's going towards Jerusalem. Luke began to record that back in chapter 9, verse 51. When the days grew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. In chapter 13, verse 22, again, Luke tells us that Jesus is resolutely headed for Jerusalem. And here in chapter 17, we find the Lord Jesus again purposefully heading towards Jerusalem. And it's as he heads there, as he journeys to the place where he knows he will be betrayed, where he knows that he will have to suffer and die for us. His journey involves him passing along this particular way between Samaria and Galilee. And Luke records that detail for us in order to explain to us why there is this mixed group of lepers. There are 10 of them, and at least one of them is a Samaritan. The others, we presume, are Jews. According to the law of Moses, as you read in Leviticus 13 or in Numbers chapter 5, lepers, of course, were ceremonially unclean. These were people, whether male or female, but they had to remain outside the camp. And so it's as Jesus is entering the village that he comes across these lepers, because that's where they were. They were outside the village. They were living lives cut off from their society, cut off maybe from their family, from their marriage maybe, if a husband was a leper. But they're unwanted. They are unable to take part in normal life in their community. They're outside the village. And we're told it's from a distance that they call out to the Lord Jesus. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Have pity on us. And you know, we looked at somewhat of this morning, but these 10 lepers, they do remind us of us. It's so easy for us just to think of them, of others, but really this reminds us of us. You see, the law of Moses excluded lepers as a method of quarantine. That word should be very familiar to us in these days, keeping people with infectious skin disease, conditions outside the camp. It was for good reasons, good hygienic reasons, for the welfare of the whole community at large. But the law also excluded them because their leprosy was a picture of defilement. They were spiritually defiled in a sense, a picture of it. Inside the camp, you see, was where God was present, and his presence there inside the camp made the camp holy. Unholy people, like these lepers, unclean people, were therefore outside the camp. They were put deliberately away from God because God is utterly holy. He is utterly clean. He is without any flaw or defect whatsoever. And so putting these lepers outside the camp protected the camp sort of from infection, but also it was a picture, a symbol of how holy God is. My friends, by nature, each of us are like those lepers. Each of us by nature are spiritually unclean. We are defiled people. Our hearts are full of leprosy in that sense. And so out of that leprous heart then comes what we describe as sin, manifestations of a ruined heart. That's what Jesus described in Mark 7. From within, he said, out of a person's heart come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed and wickedness, and deceit, and lustful desires. What else? Envy, slander, pride, foolishness. He says, all these vile things come from within. They are what defile you. And even on our very best days, like, well, when you feel the closest to God, you know, those sorts of days, even on those days, as Isaiah describes, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are as filthy rags. So that's how we are without help. We're in this world as spiritual lepers. We came into this world with Adam's guilt reckoned to us, and then as we grew up, as we went through life, we went on to demonstrate that sinful, leprous nature within us. And so, like those lepers, our sin makes us unclean before God. We are untouchable by God. We are separated from God. We are cut off from him. We must stand at a distance from him. But you know, like those lepers, the one who can save us, the one who can heal us, the one who can bring us back to God is Jesus. And just as those lepers cried out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When we do that, when we realize our awful condition, our perilous condition, when we cry out, Jesus, have mercy on me, he hears us and he responds to us. Secondly, then, what did the Lord Jesus say to the lepers? The last time Jesus healed a leper was back in chapter 5. There, what Jesus did in response to the leper was he reached out and touched him. verse 11 of Luke 5, when the man full of leprosy saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left. Jesus there was clearly showing that leper, that person who was untouchable, Jesus was showing him that he was loved. And so Jesus stretches out his hand and physically places his hand on that man. I wonder when was the last time that man had been held. That's some of the things we're facing at the minute with this restriction, you know, not being able to hold each other and hug each other, you know. How long had that man not been held? And yet Jesus, in his love for him and his compassion, he reaches out and places his hand on him. Here in Luke 17, with these 10 lepers, Jesus does something different. He simply tells them in verse 14, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." That's what the law of Moses said that should happen. Someone who had been healed, okay? They had been healed. Someone in that situation, healed from leprosy or whatever, he then had to go and show himself to the priest. The priest would check he had been healed, and then he would pronounce he was healed and allow him back into the community again. But, you know, these lepers haven't been healed yet. They're still stood there with their skin sort of white and flaky, and yet Jesus tells them to do what should have seemed to them silly, should have seemed to them nonsense, wrong, when they hadn't been healed yet. But friends, this is faith, you see. It's as they simply obey Jesus and turn that they are healed of their leprosy. That's all they had to do. Just take Jesus at his word and obey him. They had to act in faith. They had to believe what Jesus had told them to do. Even though they had no proof that Jesus would indeed heal them, they took him at his word. They did what he said, and they were healed. Friends, that's what saving faith looks like. In faith, you simply act upon what Jesus said. When you read in the Gospels, when you read in the Epistles, you read the Gospel throughout the Bible, you see what is needed. You see what God promises the spiritually unclean. When you, as someone who is yet unclean, when you simply take God at his word and believe on him, he heals you. He saves you. It's a childlike faith. It's a simple faith. It's a faith we see dramatized, as it were, in the story of Naaman we read earlier from 2 Kings 5. He was a great military commander of Syria, a wonderful man of valor. You can imagine him having all these medals across his chest, like some sort of great American general, you know, with all these stars and all everything, all these badges across his chest to show how brave he was, how many battles he had won, and yet he hadn't won this battle. He was losing this battle. He was a leper. And so, to cut the story short, we heard it read earlier, but he comes to Israel, to Elisha the prophet, and Elisha tells him to go and simply wash himself 7 times in the Jordan River. Do it, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean. In fact, if you look carefully what the text says, it's not even Elisha who tells him to do this, but Elisha sends a messenger, a servant, to tell Naaman what to do. And it seems so simple that Naaman doesn't want to do it. It doesn't fit with what he would have expected he had to do, what he would have expected to have been the remedy for his situation. Remember what he said in verse 11. He says, "I thought he would certainly come out to meet me. I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call in the name of the Lord his God and heal me. Aren't the rivers of Damascus, the Abana and the Parpar, better than any of the rivers of Israel? Why shouldn't I wash in them and be healed? And so Naaman turned and went away in a rage. I think that's often the case for people when you tell them about Jesus Christ, when you explain to them the simplicity of the gospel, that someone else has done all that's needed for them to be made right with God. That all they must do is simply acknowledge their need of Jesus and repent, turn from their sin and trust in Jesus to save them. That is not what they expected. They expected to do something like Naaman expected. They expected to do some sort of religious act. They expected to have to do something themselves, some religious duty themselves, or maybe they had to try and improve themselves first before Christ would forgive them and save them. But this is grace, friends. This is undeserved favor of God. So the offer of forgiveness and eternal life to people who just don't deserve it, that offer is to us to simply take it, to simply by faith reach out with an open hand and say, Lord, please give me what you've promised to give me and save me. To simply accept it and depend upon it, that Jesus really did die in your place, that he really did atone for all our sin, that he did indeed fully satisfy the Father's displeasure, his anger, for our disobedience. Friends, we're all untouchable to God, and yet through Jesus, through his death and resurrection, through all that Jesus did to make us clean, we can be made clean before God through faith in Christ. We simply must humble ourselves and come just as we are and be healed. Naaman finally did accept the simplicity of what Elisha told him to do. He gave up his arguments. He stopped wanting to be saved the way he presumed he would be saved. And he washed himself 7 times. These 10 lepers, they also simply accepted what Jesus told them to do. I wonder if you've done that. I wonder if you simply accepted what Jesus says, that you're not arguing with him, you're not debating with him, but you've come just as you are, realizing how you are, and accepted him as the only one who can save you and heal you of this spiritual defilement all of us have by nature. Well, thirdly then, whilst all 10 of them are healed of their physical leprosy, I believe it was one of them who was saved from this spiritual leprosy, because he's the only one who turns back. He returns to Jesus, praising God with a loud voice. He falls at Christ's feet and gives thanks to Christ for all that Jesus has done for him. And again, it's very similar to what Naaman did, because when Naaman went to that river and washed himself and came out clean and healed, what does he do? He comes back. He returns to Elisha's house and thanks him for all that he's done. And here this single cleansed leper comes back to Jesus and thanks him. Where were the other 9? Well, I guess they were probably too excited to be brought back into community again, too excited to be brought back into their family home, to be with family and loved ones again, to be able to walk down the streets of the village again without embarrassment, without shame. They were too taken up to get to the priest so they could get home again quick. So possibly they just plain forgot to return and give thanks to Jesus. but not this one man. And he's a Samaritan too. This person who is still untouchable to a Jew. And so since he is a Samaritan, then he's the last person that in the story we would have expected to be coming back to Jesus, a Jew, of course, and to thank him. And there he is at the feet of Christ, giving thanks. Apparently, the Greek verb there, giving thanks, it occurs 37 other times in the New Testament. I haven't checked all of them, but apparently in every single case, that verb is used towards God. That's why the Lord Jesus here tells this thankful Samaritan in verse 19, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Literally, Jesus says to him, your faith has saved you. So what am I saying here about this man? I'm saying that though there were 10 lepers healed of their leprosy, I believe only one of them was saved of their spiritual leprosy. And it's this one Samaritan. He believed in what Jesus told him to do. He returned. He came back praising God. He humbled himself before Jesus and thanked Jesus as though he were God, which of course he is. So Jesus says, rise, your faith has saved you. That's what happens when we come to Jesus Christ. We are saved through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He heals us of all our sins, of all our spiritual diseases. He makes us right before God so we can stand before God. God now touches our lives and fills us with his presence for us to now to live before him, knowing him, serving him, one day to be with him forever. It's a passage filled with grace, marvelous grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. There are themes here I want to close on, just summarizing. There is the matter of God's people spending time thanking God for saving them, praising him for healing them of this awful spiritual defilement that we are all born with. You see, of all the people in the world, a world riddled with defilement, full of defilement, surely God's people are the most to thank, should be the most to thank God for doing what he has done for them in Jesus Christ. God has made us the untouchable. He has made us touchable to God. And then secondly, there's the matter of God's people imitating this character of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus here yet again responding to these people, these sort of first century untouchable. Jesus doing here what others wouldn't do. Jesus showing compassion and helping them in a way he could. I wonder who are the untouchables we know of in our communities? And are we as a church, are we really bothered about seeing them come to faith in Christ and seeing them join us even at Welbeck Road to stand beside them and break bread with them one day again and together worship our Savior who saved us, who made us the untouchables, who made us clean and healed before God? Then, of course, the third matter again is this compassionate nature of Jesus. That when he sees this awful scene, this sad scene, these lepers calling out to them, he does not make any distinction between them. Yes, some are Samaritans, some are Jews, but he simply tells all of them, all 10 of them, to go and be made clean. What a wonderful thing to close on tonight then, that Jesus makes no distinction amongst us. We are all by nature unclean. All of us, every one of us, regardless of our demographic, regardless of our social caste, if we belong to such a thing, all of us needs Jesus Christ. Every one of us, without Christ, we're spiritual lepers. We're outside the camp. We're outside the family of God. But the good news is that Jesus says to all of us, that any of us, whoever looks to him, whoever draws near to him and believes on his name, receives forgiveness and eternal life. So believe the good news. Accept the grace of God. Draw near in faith to Jesus Christ, and he will make you clean. Don't debate the gospel. Simply believe the gospel and put your faith in Jesus, and he will make you clean. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you again for such a simple message of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that many children, many boys and girls come to faith by your grace, Lord. It's so simple. And we thank you, Lord, that for many of us, you have drawn us also to faith in Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you have made us clean. Once we were unclean. There was once a time, Lord, when we were bound for hell. There was no chance, there was no hope of us ever spending eternity with you in heaven. But God, you have changed that. You have taken away from us all that would condemn us. Christ died in our place for us. And you have clothed us and covered us with his righteousness. Lord, thank you for such grace. And I pray, Lord, again, that we would understand this more and recognize more the riches of our salvation. So please, Lord, open our eyes, open our minds to see this more and more. And make us more thankful, more grateful, more keen to honor you now with our lives. We ask this, gracious, saving, healing God, in the name of Jesus our Savior. Amen.